If you're not ready, then go ahead and tell me you're not ready.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives.
In other words, the car didn't hit him, and he wasn't hit by the car.
I'm not a lawyer, but... Are y'all keeping up? I'm not a lawyer, but...
The debrief.
We are so excited to bring a new segment of I'm Not a Lawyer, But, which is called the I'm Not a Lawyer, But I Know My Rights.
I know my rights.
We don't always know our rights, but we have a special guest that we have had here before who we love to have join us because he knows way more than us, and that is none other than Mr. Todd McGee. Hello, and thank you for being here.
Hello. Good to see everybody.
What's up, Todd? How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Blessed by the best.
Amen. Yes, sir. okay, so we have Todd here because, like I said, the segment is I'm not a lawyer, but I know my rights. Mm-hmm. And many times, regular lay civilian people don't really know their rights. And so with obviously the expertise and background that Todd has, he's going to help inform us and the audience about some of the things you may not know, but should know in different situations, circumstances, et cetera. So we are going to start with etiquette of a motor vehicle. When you're in a vehicle and have some interactions with law enforcement, what can and cannot happen, what you should and should not do, those kind of things. So take it away. Tell us all the things.
So for context for your Patreon viewers, I was a police officer for 24 years and did all sorts of things from highway patrol to investigations, training. So I'm coming from that perspective, from having conducted motor vehicle stops, been pulled over myself over in my lifetime. So kind of a little bit of everything. Let me start with first educating people where your rights live within the Fourth Amendment. There are protections, constitutional protections found within the Fourth Amendment guidelines of illegal search and seizure. So that's really the framework out of all the constitutional guidelines and protections. We're really talking mostly about Fourth Amendment protections.
Got it.
Okay, so we got everybody level set. Let's talk about some of the things that you can be pulled over for. Most people default on things like going through a stop sign, speeding, maybe changing lanes. But even before the actual operation of a motor vehicle, safety, your headlight, you can be pulled over if your headlight's out. Your taillight, you can be pulled over if your taillight is out. If your brake lights are out, you can be pulled over for those things. If you've got a raggedy car and you've got a bumper hanging, that's a safety violation.
Okay.
You can be pulled over for that. So those are called pretextual stops. And the Supreme Court has deemed that when an officer pulls an operator over in any one of those types of circumstances, it is not a violation of your Fourth Amendment illegal search and seizure.
Got it.
Okay. So let's talk about the etiquette of a motor vehicle stop. So you find yourself, you're on the side of the road, those blue lights go on behind you. First thing is stay calm, stay cool. Don't react emotionally to the lights being behind you. I've seen situations where the lights go on or an operator will see a police car behind them and they'll jerk themselves over into, you know, the next lane, and all of a sudden they're getting pulled over.
Yes.
So the police officer may have just trying to get past you for whatever reason. And then you actually, under that stress of seeing that light bar or the lights behind you, you commit a violation unintentionally. All right. So if you move lanes, switch lanes, have the presence of mind, use your blinker, and then move yourself over accordingly.
Okay. Yeah. I'm always scared. So that you're talking to me right now, but okay. Keep going.
That's real. It's stressful.
It is. Right?
Stressful. You know, so we want to acknowledge that first and foremost. Don't automatically default that they're after me. If you then move over and they move with you, just continue to safely move over to the side of the road until you're safe. The other issue is move to the right. Don't move to the left. It's dangerous because if you move to the left, even if there's a lane for a breakdown lane, that's a high speed lane. It's dangerous.
Okay.
Right. And trying to get back out in the traffic in that high speed lane.
Yeah.
It's just not a good place to put yourself into. Okay. So you're always moving to the right.
Okay.
Here's the next thing to understand before we even get to the interaction with the police officer.
Yeah.
The left lane is the passing lane. That's not the travel lane.
Mm-hmm.
The middle lane and the right lane are the travel lanes. The furthest left lane is the passing lane. And I'm pretty sure it's that way in every state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you find yourself kind of driving absent-minded, and you know, sometimes we all doze out, we're in that left lane and you know, we're over the speed limit, keep in mind that you're setting yourself up for failure. So okay. Get out of that left lane, move over and stay in that middle or that furthest right lane near the breakdown lane. Next thought here.
Okay.
You're now pulled over to the right.
Okay.
And it's nighttime. Let's start with nighttime.
Okay.
Turn the interior lights on.
Oh.
Here's why. Part of that etiquette, the police officer approaching the vehicle, especially if you have tinted windows, especially in the hot states, everyone's got tinted windows.
Uh-huh.
Police officer cannot see the occupants inside the vehicle. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
So automatically that police officer is walking up to an unknown situation, mm-hmm. and they don't know what they're encountering until that window goes down.
Yeah.
And they don't know if something or someone with bad intentions is on the other side of that window.
Yeah.
So cut the interior lights on. If you have your credentials, they're automatically going to ask you for your license and proof of registration, proof of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you have it ready before they get to the window, center console type of thing, great. If you have to fish around for that and you have to look and wait for the officer
okay.
to ask for your credentials.
Okay. I was about to ask because yes.
They're nervous.
I feel like it's you get nervous when you're, I feel like if I'm starting to look, you're going to think I'm doing something. So yes. That's a good tip. I'm already in. This is good.
Right.
That's so, true because he's human or she's human. She's scared. He's scared.
And you over here fidgeting. What you doing?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Exactly. Right. So a daytime motor vehicle stop takes on an entirely different mm-hmm. emotional mindset
in a
dim light or an evening situation. So. Got it. That comes with tactics, and I don't want to go down a rabbit trail, but that's what the officer's mindset is, right?
Okay.
It's a heightened awareness. It's more dangerous at nighttime. Okay, so many people say I'm only going to crack my window this much.
Yep. Yep.
You can, but keep in mind that. Given on the police officer, they may just start the dialogue and ask you for your credentials and accept that. Other officers may take offense to it.
Uh-huh.
So that's your call as the operator, how you want to engage that conversation.
Okay.
Are you wrong to just crack the window? No. There is no law that says you are required to roll your window all the way down so that it's a full open window. There's no law for that.
Okay.
But every police officer has a different attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on which one you get is how that motor vehicle stop is going to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I recommend stay polite and courteous.
Yeah.
If you don't know why you were pulled over,
mm-hmm.
politely ask, but don't argue.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen anyone reverse a ticket by arguing.
Yeah.
It's just
a good point.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Now, there is a chance where you could get off with a verbal warning or a written warning.
Okay.
Right. That's a good outcome.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, if the police officer takes your credentials, goes back to their police cruiser, do not get out of the vehicle to address them.
Mm.
That's police officers view that as a threat.
Okay.
There are, however, there are some states where the police officer will ask you to get out of the vehicle and step to your trunk area off the road so you're safe. But that's how they're trained in some of those. I know some of the southern states here in the East Coast interact with operators that way. Mm-hmm. In the Northeast, where I police, we want the we want our operators to stay inside the vehicle.
Okay.
If you feel that the stop was unjustified, please do not take up your grievance on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. That's what the court system is for.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's what the court. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to keep people safe.
Yes. Yep. This is great.
Right. So I'd rather someone take the ticket with the option of appealing the ticket mm-hmm. in front of a judge, and then hopefully have a strong case to make, and then the whole thing goes away, as opposed to getting locked up, in things escalating, getting out of hand.
Totally.
All right. Mm-hmm. So it's pick your poison is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you have a grievance, if you feel unjustly pulled over, I strongly suggest make a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Just make a complaint. Mm-hmm. Now you may say, Todd, nothing's going to happen. Think about this. If that police officer is aggressive mm-hmm. and there's another 20, 25 complaints on that officer that you don't know about,
mm-hmm.
and you're number 26 coming mm-hmm. in, he's a liability to the department. He or she is a liability to the department mm-hmm. and they have to investigate. They have to look into it.
Got it.
All right. Now, again, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I strongly suggest make the complaint.
Yeah.
There's a process. Every police department has it. There's a process. And you are owed the results of the investigation.
Okay.
So as a man, when someone disrespects me or I feel like, man, you tripping, basically, I want to voice my opinion. I want to tell you how I feel because you testing me right now. I should stay calm.
Yes, sir.
And answer everything. Well, fight this situation with the pen on paper and file a complaint. Whether or not, whether he's wrong or not, I want to get home to my family.
Yes. Basically. That's the objective.
Be safe. Yeah.
That's the objective. Okay. And I'm not telling you to swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you to take that grievance up in the proper channels, in the proper way, in the proper platform.
Oh, see, that's good there. Mm-hmm. I'm not swallowing. I'm not just taking it. I'm like, no, I'm gonna handle it this way. Mm-hmm. And this is how. Okay.
Right.
I think men especially have to hear that. You can take it up in a whole different matter, and you probably come out better on this side, on this end.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You have another bite at the apple. Right there on the side of the road, it's just not the place to handle your business that way.
Yeah.
Right. Work the system. Work the system. I'm not saying trust the system. Mm-hmm. I'm saying work the system.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes good sense.
Yeah.
Let me go back to another step inside the vehicle. Your hands should be at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing police officers are taught in the academy, hands kill.
Mm-hmm.
There's been ambushes. There's been some horrible situations that police officers have entered into, and it's just important that you don't feed that narrative or that mindset. So interior light is on during the nighttime. Pulled over, if you're pulled over during the day or during the night, hands at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock on the wheel.
Okay.
If you are armed and you're carrying your firearm, you're licensed to carry.
You're legally carrying.
Legally carrying.
Mm.
Inform the officer.
Ah.
Inform them. Let them know right up front.
Uh-huh.
At that point, they're going to ask you, are you licensed? The response is yes. Make sure you have your credentials with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they can check through the computer, but you're required by law to have that firearms identification card on you every time you're carrying a firearm.
Got it.
Yeah, I got that.
That's good.
People, men, women,
everybody.
You have to be licensed. You have to have your credentials to be carrying a weapon. Come on now. Don't.
Now, I know in Florida, based on the gun laws, you can carry a loaded firearm as long as you're licensed. But if you have like a little billy club or something like that,
mm-hmm.
I believe that you can be arrested for that.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
So people, please check your local laws.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing for like brass knuckles?
Yes, some states brass knuckles are illegal.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, okay. And yeah,
I understand people are carrying these things to keep themselves safe and protect themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it within the law of your state.
Or you're going to have a whole nother problem. Okay.
You're going to create a whole nother problem for yourself. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
All right.
I want to go back to pretextual stops. Police officer said that they pulled you over for a taillight out. If that's the case, I'm not asking you to get out of your vehicle at that time and look at your lights.
Mm.
When you're home safe with one of your family members, check your lights. If your light is all of a sudden working, take a picture, appeal the ticket,
oh.
It'll go away.
Yeah. Mm. That's smart.
Right? Makes sense. To your point, Melanie, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
You're going to argue on the side of the road, you're working harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, do like the pilots do on an aircraft. Walk around your vehicle to make sure everything's working.
Mm-hmm.
The inspection sticker on your windshield. If your state has inspection stickers, make sure it's valid.
Mm-hmm.
If your plate, if you have a sticker on your plate, on your registration, make sure it's valid.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a crack in your windshield, it's called, if it crosses over in your optimum viewing area, mm-hmm. that means right in front of your face.
Yeah.
You're going to get pulled over for that.
That's really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's a violation. It's a safety violation.
I knew something like that, but I ain't know.
Huh. I mean, it makes sense. I just didn't know.
Now, I'm not talking necessarily a stone bruise on the windshield, but if you got a crack going across your windshield, anywhere where the wipers can touch, that's your optimum view, your critical viewing area or your optimal viewing area.
Got it. Yeah. Got it.
Because I was pulled over because my back tail light was broken and the hole where the light went was something happened. Something punched the light out, but the police pulled me over, thought it was a bullet hole. And they went and searched my vehicle, all type of stuff. This was Old National. Went through my whole car. I'm HVAC certified. I had refrigerant in my back seat. We got something right here. So it was some refrigerant, but I had my credentials to show them that I was licensed to have refrigerant in the vehicle or whatever. But that all stemmed from my light being broke. Mm-hmm. And we was on the highway. They pulled me over as if 5-6 cars just for this broken taillight. And it went to searching my vehicle and all that. So yeah, get your stuff fixed. I didn't fix it like I was supposed to.
Greg, that's an example of a pretextual stop.
Your tail lights, your brake lights,
headlights,
your rear view mirrors, if they're broken off or hanging.
Rear view mirror in most states here in the Northeast. People like to hang them trees.
Oh yeah.
Prayer like beads, family Sets. Photos, whatever it is, it's a violation.
Really?
It's a violation.
I did not know that.
Can I don't want to derail you because we need to get through it, but I have to ask. So growing up, huh?
What about?
Okay. So growing up, my mom, and I feel like a lot of people are going to relate to this, used to say you can't drive. It's illegal to drive with your dome light on. Is that true? You know what I'm talking about? Have you heard this before?
So there's a couple of things with it. Is it illegal? I don't think it's illegal. However, a police officer might think that there's something suspicious going on inside the vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Right. Because you need that illumination to put your hands on something or to hide something. So that is where that comes from.
Okay. That makes sense.
Similar seat belts.
Oh,
it's the law to wear your seatbelt. However, if you're not wearing your seatbelt, it doesn't qualify as a pretextual stop.
Really?
So this is tricky.
Yeah.
Everyone's required to wear their seatbelt. Mm-hmm. If you're pulled over for another violation, we'll say speeding, your seatbelt is off, then technically the police officer could say, well, you're not wearing your seatbelt, you're in violation. However, if you're just driving down the street, seatbelt's off, they can't use that as a pretextual stop.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm hoping I'm not confusing anybody on that.
It's like a secondary issue. Correct. It's not like a primary. You can't be stopped for it, but you still can be cited for it.
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense. That was good.
All right. Let's take a break from the show and talk about our sponsor, Uncommon Goods. Spark something uncommon this holiday season with incredible hand-picked gifts from Uncommon Goods. They make your holiday shopping stress-free by sourcing the globe for original homemade and absolutely remarkable things for everyone on your list. These gifts will spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. Whether you're shopping for your Secret Santa or the entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what you want. Uncommon Goods has coloring books, wallets, mugs, necklaces, dresses, and all those knickknacks that you wouldn't even think about, because Uncommon Goods, they reach out to your small business owners, and most of their goods are homemade. Now, one that I am for sure going to get, I saw this pickleball court type of thing that you can play inside with the kids. So I'm definitely getting that for the girls. Okay. This pickleball indoor court is, I'm quite sure it's going to be awesome. So I'm getting that. All right. So when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists. You remember what I said? You're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of them are handcrafted products made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out in the holiday season. See? Uncommon Goods, these are uncommon gifts, so they're not going to be available all the time. With every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. $3 million. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/lawyer. That's uncommongoods.com/lawyer for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Back to the show.
Okay.
Hold on now. So are you saying you cannot be pulled over for your seatbelt? That for your seatbelt to be the primary source or cause of this?
Correct.
Okay. Now I'm gonna fight you on this one.
Go ahead.
I've been pulled over because in Georgia they specifically had it click it or ticket seatbelt violations. It doesn't matter. If you don't have your seatbelt on, they'll pull you over, seatbelt ticket, and they were handing them things out like candy.
So at the individual state level, maybe it does fit into that pretextual stop.
Okay.
That's not the case in every state.
Ah. Yeah, because people will put their seatbelt on, right, and then, you know, they'll wrap the chest part around whatever part of the seat, so it looks like you don't even have your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
So a couple of friends of mine get pulled over. Oh, you're not wearing it properly. Ticket. So I know in Atlanta, Georgia, it was click it or ticket, and they had a field day with that.
It says that which makes sense. Most things are, you know, they have some generalized country nationwide things, but it talks about this click it or ticket. It's an enforcement campaign. So it's like a campaign that was started there for that particular purpose.
So on that piece, there's research behind that. With all the technology, with warning systems and bumpers, airbags, just wearing a basic seatbelt is the safest way to keep occupants safe in case there's some type of a collision.
Yeah.
There's a lot of research behind that.
Yeah.
Got it.
Makes sense.
And I'm going to say this. Out of all the different ethnic groups, we are the Black community is the worst offenders for not wearing seatbelts. That's also out there in research and data.
Yeah, you know, we be trying to be cool, man.
Be cool and be alive.
And be alive.
With a seatbelt. Yeah,
yeah. just putting that out there.
Yeah. No, that's good.
I believe that too.
Let's talk about vehicle searches.
Okay.
Mm. Okay. I know that in most states, weed has become legal.
Mm-hmm.
However, it also means that you're driving intoxicated or inebriated. Mm-hmm. So if they smell weed, that's going to be a reason to get you in. You're not going to be fined for or arrested for possession, right? Because mm-hmm. if it's legal in your state, but not to operate because you're operating impaired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you see people smoking blunts all the time while they're driving behind the wheel.
Crazy.
I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
And then drive by you, right? And you smell it. And why don't you think the police officers can't smell it in their vehicle? And be tripping why they get pulled over.
Yeah.
So it's actually like liquor. Liquor is legal, but you can't drink and drive.
There it is.
So why are you smoking? I mean, like you said, just out in the open. Yeah, I'm smoking because it's legal driving. Yeah, that's wild. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where we have to understand where these laws extend themselves or they don't extend themselves, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They're very specifically drawn. The legislatures that create these laws write them a certain way. And we just have to understand and know, you know, what our rights are. You know, so I commend you guys for doing this series on this topic. Because we need to know.
Yeah, totally.
There's one situation in the motor vehicle that I think is on everybody's mind. These officers ask the driver to get out, and the driver doesn't want to get out because it's you pulled me over for speeding. But since I had a smart aleck attitude towards you, now you're like, get out the vehicle, and the driver resist, and the police officer always ends up breaking the glass and pulling them out. Is this legal? Fight against that?
So part of most police departments, not 100%, but most police departments have issued the body cams.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that body cam is that request that body cam be put on.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that body cam is filming the operator's behavior as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. So if the police officer escalates unjustifiably, right, you now have body cam evidence to support your claim of excessive force or the officer escalating.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So and the way it's designed, the body cam footage at the end of each shift must be uploaded. That's a requirement. If the police officer doesn't do that, that's a violation of policy and procedure of improper use.
Can you or tips, suggestions for you, the operator, wanting to film, wanting to use your phone, or even engaging and wanting to call the station to verify this officer, or like using your phone in any way during an interaction with an officer?
So, Melanie, that is a powerful question from this perspective. For women operators,
mm-hmm.
there have been some nightmare stories where police wannabes are out as predators.
Mm.
And understand that if a police cruiser is unmarked, the they call it a lighting package. So the lights are hidden, but when they illuminate, it's like Christmas. So you know it's most likely a legitimate police officer.
Got it.
My concern, and again, this is what I've trained my wife and my daughter, If you feel suspicious, don't speed away. Drive to a safe place off the road where it's illuminated and it's a high visible area.
Okay.
Hmm.
And then that's when it's acceptable to roll your window down with just a crack.
Got it. Okay.
Right. Now, yeah. if it's a marked unit, the expectation is that's a legitimate police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking very specific instance where you're just like, something's not right about this vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And, or you may say, my city department doesn't have vehicles like that. Right. That, mm-hmm. that would be an example where safely, don't speed, safely drive to a well-lit, well-populated area.
Yeah.
And then pull over.
Got it. Okay.
Do you think using the cell phone footage, filming the officer, irritates officers?
Okay. Filming, use of a cell phone is protected First Amendment right.
Okay. So first, it's legal. Okay.
First and foremost, it's very legal. Mm-hmm. Protected police officers during protests and marches and...
Mm-hmm.
You can take a look on YouTube, all these First Amendment audits. Cell phone use or filming using a cell phone is protected under the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how many cops don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I always say, if I'm in front of a room full of police officers or security professionals, let them film you being a professional.
Amen.
Right? In the sense mm-hmm. of accountability at the same time.
Yes. But
let them film you being a professional and, mm-hmm. and then handle whatever it is that you have to and then move on.
Yeah.
Did you see the incident with Tyreek Hill?
Yes.
The football player?
Yes.
So in that situation, I think that's a good situation to explain. He had a little attitude because the officer knocked on his window. So he was like, you know, had a little attitude with him. And the officer ultimately told him to get out of the vehicle and end up pulling him out. I don't know. Never should have. Okay. There we go.
Never should have happened. The police officer escalated that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Tyreek Hill. Okay. Maybe he was fresh, you know, maybe, yep. you know, he admittedly in a press conference said he could have handled things differently, but he didn't do anything that warranted an arrest.
Yeah. Okay. Tyreek could have easily rolled down his window, kept his mouth shut. I'm sorry, sir. Blase, blase. And it would have never happened, even though it's not his fault because he has all right to speak however he wants to speak. But the officer was wrong. But yes. In the meantime, anything could have happened when they took you to the ground. I mean, you never know.
In his situation, he made reference to a knee or previous knee surgery.
Yeah.
Why put yourself in a situation that's going to make it worse?
Yeah.
Just
that's true.
Take it, handle it, move on about your business. But if you feel unjustified, there's steps.
Yeah.
Once you get to your safe place, there's steps that you can follow if you feel unjustified.
Yeah.
So again, motor vehicle stops. They're complex. There's a lot to them. There's a lot of layers to them. I was working with an attorney on a particular case where this veteran, older gentleman, was pulled over because his sticker was expired. He had groceries and his dog inside the vehicle, and he was 400 yards from his property, and wow. he didn't want his vehicle towed. So. This gentleman made the decision to drive low speed to his property, uh-huh. and it just got worse for him.
Oh, I'm sure.
You're really just at the mercy of the officers, and the best solution is just to be cool and hopefully it works out for you. I mean,
yes,
yeah.
Can you, kind of to the point you were just making, somebody in the Patreon is asking, is it true that you can call highway patrol? She puts pound 77, for example, and notify them that you're aware you're being pulled over. You just want to get to a well-lit location.
Okay. I'm not aware with how things work in your state, but verify that. That is a great idea because that goes in real time to dispatch, if that's what this protocol is in the system that's set up, and dispatch will reach out to that responding officer.
Okay.
Most likely, any GPS coordinates as that person, you know, pings that cell tower, the dispatch will be able to inquire to any units in that particular area to verify all that. And they can talk real time behind the scenes.
Got it. Okay. Another question, and you kind of talked about this, but I think a way to phrase it is, at what point are you obligated to get out of the vehicle? We understand you shouldn't until you are told to, but at the moment you are told, is that when you need to get out of the vehicle?
I would leverage the body cam that I am not in agreement with this. I'm getting out under protest.
Oh.
And then from there, you're setting yourself up because you want to handle this in the court of law, mm-hmm. that this is an unjustifiable stop.
Okay.
All right.
That is, now, yes.
Go ahead, Greg.
No, that's good because I'm getting out. And I'm going to say I'm getting out under protest, looking them dead in this camera. Now, look, I'm not doing this under my own free will. This officer, what's your name? What's your number? Officer such and such is forcing me to get out this vehicle. All right. I'm going to see you in court.
Now, here's some more challenging things, and this is a good segue. There are times when there are crimes, and I'm going to give you a real-life scenario. There are times when there's crime happening in the community. Got nothing to do with you. However, there was a robbery, and guess what? The getaway vehicle is the same make and model. Might not be the same color, but it's the same make and model of your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened to me. I pulled people over. The difference is I explained to them there was a robbery about a mile from here. Mm-hmm. Your vehicle matches the description. We verified that it's not you, but I suggest you get off the street right now.
Oh.
That happens. And it's, you know, the person's going to feel bad about things and they're going to, you know, rightfully so, but hopefully that officer will take the time and explain why they were pulled over.
Yeah.
Why they were stopped under those circumstances.
Yeah.
So especially if you're near a high crime area, you're traveling through, that happens a lot.
Yeah. Mm. That happened to me. We got pulled over. I was with my dad and they pulled us over. He didn't tell me why. And I was like, I don't know what I did. I'm in the car with my dad. Of course, I wasn't doing anything crazy. They took our information. And then afterward, he said, your vehicle matches a vehicle from a crime. And so we needed to pull you over. The license plate, I guess their license plate was similar, maybe not exact, but I think even the state was different. And so he explained it afterward and then he let us go. But I was like, ooh, get me home. But yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it was good. Good, he explained it. That's the right thing to do. Police are going to do their job, but there's a respect for the operator that needs to be extended.
Yeah. Another question here, which I think is good, is do you know about printing out insurance or having it on your phone? Do we have to have physical insurance cards, or what would be your suggestion or recommendation for someone who is curious if they need to have an actual card or can just show their phone?
I keep my stuff paper copies. Here's, I'd feel better handing a piece of paper to a police officer than my phone.
My phone. Good point. Can I airdrop it to you? No.
I've been pulled over and officers have allowed me to show them my insurance on the phone. They just ask for the number. I'm assuming they can just put it in somewhere. But my father though always stressed to have it right above the window. What was it? The sun visor.
Mm-hmm.
Your registration. Your insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can make a copy of your license and put it up there. So as soon as they come,
they probably gonna want to see your real one too, no?
Well, yeah, if they want the real one, yeah, just in case.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, someone asked a good question just for maybe parents who have kids who are driving, and maybe encouraging them. Any suggestions, tips if their children are pulled over? Should they call you on speaker? Can they call you? Or what should parents be telling their children who are driving on the road.
If they're going to call, call when the police officer goes back to the cruiser to do whatever check on your on the license. Okay. You know, same thing. Don't take up the grievance at the time. Don't take up the issue. I wasn't speeding. Junior operators don't have the proper knowledge of the laws. So just take whatever you're going to get, the ticket from the police officer, go home to mom and dad, make sure your kids, and again, don't, you're better off staying calm as a parent, because if they do get pulled over, they're not going to come forth with what that, what just happened, right? Yeah. So stay calm, educate them, you know, have that registration. First of all, they need to know where the registration is, right? Especially if they're driving mom and dad's car, they need to know where all that paperwork is. So that's first and foremost before they even get behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I've seen this all the time. I used to do road testing as the authority. I would sit in the passenger seat, go out with new operators, and sure enough, they're angelic. They're driving like they're supposed to be. And then next thing you know, it's Friday night, they're out with their friends acting a fool. So, you know, it's that undeveloped brain that gets them in trouble every time.
Yeah, totally. I'm just going to share that. When I first got pulled over, I didn't know what my registration and stuff looked at. So I just handed him everything. And it was like Jiffy Lube oil change receipts. That man was like, I just need these two, ma'am. I'll be back. So good tip. Make sure you know what documents you have. Where they are and ready to go when you are updated. Pulled over. Updated.
Yes.
I was updated. Handing him all types of old insurance cards. So anyway, good tip. That was good.
There was another bonus tip.
Yeah.
Another bonus tip for you. Neighboring jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. If you are in a community that is low crime and you're driving through that community and you're 5 minutes, 5 miles over the speed limit, they're going to pull you over. Those small, I call them those small little podunk police departments. Uh-huh. They are bored. They got nothing going on in them community.
Yeah.
Just so saying.
They're coming to get you.
Yeah.
They're coming to get you.
That was good.
One more question for me. Right. Smoking something legal, cigarettes, Black and Miles, cigars, police pull you over. Is it law or is there? Is it a law for me to have to put out my cigarette or my Black and Mild or my cigar as the police officer is talking to me?
No, I know of no such law.
Okay. I know.
Don't blow it in nobody's face.
I know.
That's going
to
get you locked
I know, up. Obviously, common courtesy, because you wouldn't even do that to your friends, is to put it out, you know, but... You see so many videos of these guys smoking. Hey, put your cigarette out, and they're just like blowing it out the car. So to keep everything cool, you should put out your cigarette or whatever you're smoking. You should turn down your radio. You know, it's not a law though.
It's correct? Not a law, and it's just a courtesy thing, and it just might make the interaction go a little better. But you reminded me two more things. You can get pulled over for loud music.
Yep.
You can or can't?
I got a ticket for that.
Can.
Yes. Okay. And depending on the state laws, up here in the Northeast, if you have limo tint on a passenger vehicle, not a commercial vehicle, that's another reason they can pull you over.
What is it called?
Limo.
Oh, limo tint.
Like that dark blacked out.
They get to have it on their vehicles?
If you have a livery vehicle like a limousine or something like that, and you have commercial plates, that's different than if you have a limo tint on your passenger vehicle with passenger plates.
Got it. Okay, that's good.
Now the back windows might be tinted up, right? But the but the front driver passenger side. I see people that black out their windows on all the way around, windshield and back. That's probably a violation in most states.
You're asking for somebody to ask you what you're doing.
In Georgia.
Yeah.
So expectation of privacy. There is less expectation of privacy inside of your vehicle than your home.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's the next thing. Okay. Drinking and driving. Let's just say you're out at the bar. You pull over because you know you're tired, or you know you've drank too much and you're tired.
Yep.
Operation is considered when the keys are in the ignition.
Okay.
Car doesn't have to be running.
Oh.
That's a big deal.
That is.
Wow.
If the keys are just simply in the ignition and the car is cut off, that's considered operation.
Okay.
Mm.
That's good.
So you could be trying to do the right thing, pull over. Hey, man, I'm just about to chill out right here. But those keys out. Yeah.
Lock your doors, put your keys in your pocket.
Okay. Yeah.
Take a nap.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's real good.
So let's get into expectations of privacy of your home versus when you are out in public.
Okay. The law says for your dwelling, wherever you live, you rent, you own, doesn't matter, is where you lay your head at night, you have a greater expectation of privacy. Mm. Law enforcement doesn't have the right, and we talked about this, you know, with the other case.
Yep.
In Illinois, Sonia Massey case. Mm-hmm. Those police officers never should have been in that house, and short of a warrant. Now, keep in mind, if there's a warrant, that means that there was probable cause of a crime and that the police officers had to go and get that warrant from a judge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So they just can't on their own, you know, go in their glove box and whip out a warrant receipt and write it up themselves.
Yeah.
They have to be able to bring that probable cause before a magistrate, before a judge, and the judge then creates the warrant.
Okay.
So in that case, they're compelled to be able to execute the warrant and come into your home. Hmm. Now, at that point, have a family member call down to the police station. If they're demanding to come in, you don't let them in. They don't have a warrant. They have no right to come into the house. If they're doing a wellness check, sometimes that happens too. Same thing. Everyone's fine. You can hear there's nothing going on inside the home. Your business is done here.
Okay.
Now, conversely, on hanging out, congregating out in the street, there's no expectation of privacy. Police officer can approach you, ask you questions. Again, is it a crime-ridden neighborhood? Is there a crime that happened nearby and you happen to fit a description? Those things happen and those things are legitimate. I was doing work in Jamaica, and the police officers were saying they can literally pick you up off the corner, question you at the police station, and as long as they drop you off where they picked you up, they have not violated your rights.
Really?
Wow.
I thought that was crazy. That would never that fly.
That is crazy.
That would never fly here in the States. But, mm-hmm. You know, it's just, again, understanding the different nuances.
Huh. Yeah.
So when you're just walking, like you said, congregating in the neighborhood and the police officer shows up and he's like, let me get your ID. I'll need to see who you are. Do you have to show them your ID?
You do not have to show it.
Okay. And can they arrest you for that? Or
the only time they can make an arrest, only time they can make an arrest is based on probable cause. Mm-hmm. Meaning that they are in belief. So it starts with reasonable suspicion. And then the next standard after reasonable suspicion is probable cause. Probable cause means that they can detain you, they can handcuff you, they can arrest you and bring you down to the station.
Can you specify the difference between being detained and being arrested?
Being detained would be part of a brief investigation as they're sorting through the facts and circumstances. So let's just say there was a notification to the police department that a man with a blazer, black shirt, goatee, black and gray goatee, and bald head had robbed a convenience store. Here I come along and I match a partial description. In that scenario, I could be detained until they sort through maybe get an eyewitness, and they say, no, this guy's much taller than the person that actually did the crime, right? So that detention would end at some point. Mm-hmm. If they confirm, yeah, that's the guy, then they've basically completed that, you know, that full investigation. They have an eyewitness account, and they confirmed that I was the right guy that was stopped, mm-hmm. and then the arrest would be fully in effect.
Got it. Detainment can be temporary.
Correct.
Versus it can escalate to arrest.
Yes.
Okay.
And again, this is all Fourth Amendment stuff. This is all within Fourth Amendment protections.
Okay.
Probable cause. I don't see. Okay. What I'm trying to say. A police officer can say, hey, I smell weed. Is that probable cause? Or I have suspicion over here. Like, what makes up probable cause? Like, how can they prove this is probable cause? And that's why I'm asking for your ID.
In that context, the smell of weed, whether it's in the air, whether it's on your person, is only reasonable suspicion.
Mm.
Because someone, let's for conversation, let's say weed was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
They could have smoked it, but they don't have it on their possession.
Mm-hmm.
What now makes a probable cause is if it's illegal and they had it on their person, inside their, maybe the center console of the vehicle, in their ashtray, then that then triggers, that steps over into probable cause. But just the smell by itself does not constitute probable cause.
Okay. All right. That's what I needed to know.
Question in the page. Go ahead.
You could be detained, and they could search. And again, the hypothetical scenarios that it's illegal, they could then detain you, right? What we just talked about, uh-huh. and they could search your vehicle.
God. So, okay. So I smell it. I smell it. I want to detain you. I'm going to search. I now have, when is probable cause for the arrest, or is probable cause for the search?
Probable cause that there's a crime. So the crime is the illegal possession.
Got it. Mm. Okay.
The smell, I'm smelling it. I physically can't put my hands on it.
Uh-huh.
And again, I don't want to confuse people because weed is legal in a lot of states.
Some places, yeah. But
hypothetically speaking, we're just using that as an example.
Got it.
Well, yeah, you see videos too of people smelling liquor on a driver, on the operator. And you know, hey, I need you to do a breathalyzer test, you know, because I smell alcohol. I can't physically touch it, but something's happening here. Is that probable cause, or is that reasonable suspicion?
If they fail the breathalyzer, that's probable cause that they were operating under the influence, or the sobriety test.
Mm-hmm.
Touch your nose, walk a straight line. Right. That's what was used before all these small little field sobriety testing breathalyzers came along.
I have a question because I've talked to some lawyers, because I'm not one. And I'm curious, obviously, from your law enforcement background versus the perspective of a defense attorney. Do you suggest, recommend, encourage people to take those tests when they have been pulled over? Sobriety. So
a lawyer's going to say no. A lawyer's going to. I already know that. Here's another thing. What's important for people to understand? I don't feel buzzed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not what the breathalyzer is measuring. How you feel?
Yeah.
It's measuring the alcohol content that's in your system.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can tell you, for most people, the legal limit, you're probably not going to feel intoxicated. You might feel lightheaded. You might feel a little something. But for the average person, that legal limit, you're not going to feel impaired, like weaving all over the road.
Mm.
It's a much lower standard than what people realize.
Yeah. No, that's good.
So could you opt, like, hey, I'm not trying to do the breathalyzer, but I'll do the field sobriety test. Does that
It could be considered refusal. That I think depends on the state.
And I guess on the officer as well. Like, yeah, man. They can because decide.
The probable cause would have been maybe weaving or speeding, mm-hmm. like Mark Lane's violations.
Yep.
So they already have you on a violation, and then couple it with smelling it inside your vehicle on your breath, right? So you're much deeper into the situation than just taking a breathalyzer or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I wanted to go back. Sorry, because we initially started about public, like being in the house versus being in public, but obviously we have all the questions about driving. But one question that I saw in the Patreon is, when you are detained, are you typically handcuffed as well? Or do you not, could you be detained and not be handcuffed?
Both. It depends on the context of the situation.
Okay. Okay.
So here's how police officers are trained. They temporarily handcuff you to keep you and them safe. So what happens is things are being sorted out. And if the person is not handcuffed, but they're guilty of something, then they run away. Right? Because fight or flight, they're afraid. Yeah. And then the bad judgment immediately follows. Handcuffed, and usually they're sat down on a curb. That's kind of standard protocol.
Got it. Okay.
Back to the home privacy. These officers, I believe I asked you this before on the podcast, but the officers come into your home and they put their foot right there in that door to keep you from closing it. How do you handle this situation? Is the police officer in the wrong? How does a pedestrian handle this?
Yeah, they're in the wrong. Sir, remove your foot. You have no further business here. There's no reason for you to enter. I know my rights. I'm not allowing you into my home unless you have a warrant. Just happened to a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, a professional colleague of mine, called me up all upset. Someone had called. It was in wee hours of the morning. Someone had called for a disturbance. It wasn't her house. And she has an adult daughter and a granddaughter that were in the house. So she's in protective mode, right? She's in mama bear mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you're not coming in. And she held her ground, and the police officers left. Hmm.
Do I have the right to slam his foot in the door?
Do you have the right, or is that smart?
You nailed it, Melanie. just put pressure on the door. Don't wind up and create a problem. Mm-hmm. Just stand your ground. There's no reason for you to come in here as well. Stay professional yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if you're not getting it from the police officer, again, that body cam is going to be on, or that body cam should be on. Mm-hmm. Leverage it. Mm-hmm. Leverage it. Make that body cam work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all boils down to controlling yourself.
Yes.
Period.
So generally, I mean, it goes back to what you were saying, but the privacy that you have in your home, legally and per the Constitution, you have a right in that space, versus when you are out in the public, all that essentially goes away. And so you are left to more, not what they tell you to do, you got to do, but essentially, right? Like you don't have as many rights when you're kind of out versus the privacy that you have in your home.
Correct.
What about business owners? I don't know if this is too specific, so you cannot answer this, but what about if something is happening in the, in an establishment that is yours as a business owner, are there rights there that are more similar to that of your home, like your dwelling?
Again, depending on the state, but mm-hmm. I believe there are similar expectations of privacy. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're visiting a business establishment, you're a guest.
Okay.
You don't have that protection.
Yeah.
If you're the business owner, I believe there's a greater expectation of privacy.
Got it.
Scenario, gunshots go off in the neighborhood, police come knock on your door, and you're like, get off of my land, get off of my property. The officer insists on you coming out? I mean, won't leave. Do you have to open the door? Do you have to conversate with the officers at all?
So in that scenario, they're investigating some criminality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know in that hypothetical situation, because I'm asking the question, why are they knocking on the door? Are they just trying to find eyewitnesses? Maybe they're just looking for witnesses and looking to take a statement, versus if they're looking to search my home, they still need a warrant.
Okay. I think that's the situation that I saw. A neighbor called and said they heard gunshots coming from their neighbor's backyard. So they believed that their neighbor was shooting a gun and the police showed up. But the neighbor wouldn't open the door. But the officers then went to the backyard, ended up catching, well, not catching, one of the neighbors was just chilling in the back, and they ended up like detaining him because he was outside. And they had to go to court for this whole situation. But it was off the fact that someone called it in, but they had no proof of anything. They just showed up and arrested this guy. So
yeah, so they hadn't established reasonable suspicion. They're just going off a call, a call for service. So they have to move a certain way, unless they maybe saw a gun or maybe they saw shell casings, right? So now you're moving in that reasonable suspicion, see a shell casing as probable cause that connects back to the original call for service, then it's legit.
Got it.
It's a legitimate police action.
So it's
interesting.
Not even it's a crazy scenario situation where that police officers are put in, though, when they get calls, because it could be a fiction call. Somebody could just be trying to play with this person, not liking this person, and they can just make up a call. And now the police officers are coming full steam ahead because they believe it's really happening. So, that's a wild situation.
Yeah, they're coming in hot. They're coming in hot for sure.
Yeah. Isn't that call something when somebody makes, is it a ghost call?
What is it?
Hoax.
Oh, just hoax. Okay.
There were some of those happening in LA too, I think. For like a lot of celebrities, they would call these incidents in that were not real. But so I just want to be clear, in the situation where I'll go to like a domestic violence situation where maybe neighbors have called to say, I hear something at that house, please go check on it. When the officers come, say they don't hear screaming at the time. But they're knocking on the door per the call that they have. They at that point don't even have the right to enter into the home. Is that accurate?
They're going to want to see the occupants in the home. If it's on a domestic,
they're going to
ask who's in the house.
Okay.
And if they see someone that has some type of injuries, there's your probable cause.
Got it.
And that probable cause, now the officer can enter the home.
Yes.
In that instance, do they have to like call a judge, hey, sign this real quick? Or in that moment, I can just go in?
No, there's no signing. Someone's going to be arrested, or the resolution might be one of y'all are going to have to leave and find someplace
to go
spend the night.
Got it. Cooling off
period.
Got it.
The other thing about the hoax calls, they also call them swatting calls.
Yes.
Swatting, that's it.
That's the other that's word I've been heard. Yep.
There was a situation, I forgot what state it was, but the officers came to, I want to say it was Florida. The officers knocked on the door. The individual came to their door with their pistol because it was late at night. There was an officer in the window, and he saw what the other officer couldn't see, and he shot the homeowner through the window.
Florida is one of those southern states where they're like that wouldn't fly up here in the Northeast. People just handle themselves differently. Florida is a
island in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. Right, we saw that in Trayvon Martin case.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my question would be, well, I feel like the officer is obviously wrong, because you come to my house, I have my pistol, I'm gonna come to the door with the pistol. The guy literally was walking towards the door with his gun. And the officer screamed, "Gun!" and shot through the window. I don't know if the guy passed away or not, but he definitely hit him. I guess in that case, your life is in the officer's hand. But is the officer wrong in this predicament?
In every state, that's going to be investigated as a good shoot. And it's hard to, and I don't mean to be insensitive.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's one of those things where it's officer perception. They saw it as a threat. They didn't know if it was an ambush call. That's happened in almost a dozen different, half a dozen times in the state of Florida alone, where police officers were ambushed on any type of call, for particular calls for service. Mm-hmm. So that is probably the mindset of that officer was, I'm not going to be ambushed.
Yeah.
It's just a bad outcome. Just a real bad outcome.
Yes. 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 Yeah.
Home, I know we asked you a bunch of questions. We bombarded you versus letting you speak. So if there's more things to say regarding it before I hit you with more questions from the Patreon.
No, that's fine. Let's keep going.
Okay. So then one question it's a two-part question. She's saying, is there a particular amount of time you can be detained for? Like, how long can you be detained for? And are you, if you're only being detained, are you allowed to leave on your own?
So detentions are open-ended. And it's detentions would involve a field investigation, right? So that's the term we use up here. So until they sort out the facts, you're going to be detained for that period of time. Typically, it's not going to be hours of an investigation. Mm-hmm. That's unreasonable. But let's just say there was a raid on a home and you're an occupant. You're not part of the investigation, but the police officers don't know. They're mm-hmm. trying to figure out who you are and why you're in this particular home, apartment, or whatever the case is. And you could be detained just by being in the wrong place at the right time, at the wrong time.
Yep. We saw that happen with Diddy. When Diddy's house was detained, I mean, was the raid happened, his sons who were home were detained during that period. Another question is there any circumstance in which law enforcement can enter your home without consent or without a warrant legally?
There would have to be exigent circumstances. There would have to be... I know a case where two police officers were sent to a domestic. There was a mom and two brothers, and the brothers were fighting. And when the police officers pulled up, the neighbors had called, and when the officers pulled up, there was a lot of commotion going on in the house. You know, flipping over furniture and, mm-hmm. and not, you know, punching each other out, and they entered the home. That was a lawful entry.
Mm.
So, noise complaint. Can they come in because of a noise complaint? I'm playing my music. My next door neighbor doesn't like, hey, he's too loud over there. Police show up. Oh, I turn my music down. Or I just don't answer the door. I talk to them through the door. Are they allowed to enter my home?
So statutorily speaking, that could be disturbing the peace.
Mm.
So it's a crime.
So officers are allowed to enter your home if there's a crime being broken or committed.
That's that exigent circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You were talking, it made me think of, there's a Georgia case, Quanisha Johnson. Have you ever heard of that story?
No.
It's a woman who, she was, she had been out basically in the evening. She had left her children with the father of her youngest child. And she had been out all night, and he had called her asking where she was and basically saying, when you get home, I'm going to beat you, essentially. So she called the police in advance of going home to say, hey, he's here. Can an officer meet me at the house? Because I don't want to go in. By the time she gets to her house, there's no officers there. And so she doesn't go in. She continues to circle. She calls back, hey, please, someone get here. Please, someone get here. Mm-hmm. The officers come to her house. And when they do, and she's trying to get them to get him to leave, she's like, this is my house. And I need him to leave because I basically am too scared to be here by myself. The officers essentially say there's nothing we can do. And so while they're outside, they're basically like, he can stay here. She says, oh, in so many words, mm-hmm. okay, what happens is just going to have to happen. She goes inside. According to her, she goes upstairs to check on her oldest. And when she does, he comes at her. She ends up shooting him while the officers are still outside. They never even left her house, but they just were not inside her house. They stayed outside. She ends up shooting him. He comes out of the house and he's like, she shot me. He ends up dying. And then she gets arrested. And so they end up having a trial, and she was actually found guilty, but her attorneys, of course, plan to appeal the case and all of that. But anyway, the judge, when sentencing her, was essentially like, you did what all you could do by calling repeatedly to the officers, asking them to help you. And then they essentially left you to yourself. Anyway, but in that instance, should they have entered? Should they have done something? Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. So, you know, based on that domestic history, she called the police officers for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the judgment calls that mm-hmm. police have to make all the time.
Yeah.
And we don't always get it right, to be quite honest. And this particular case, she made the call, I'm sure based on history, abusive history, and the police officers could have interviewed, because again, she's calling based on a threat,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the context. Right. So they're responding. They're at the house based on threats that were made.
Yep.
So they've got to verify the threats. And in that particular case, she could have invited them. Now, here's the difference about police officers' rights to come in and yep. not. She called them. Perhaps she should have invited them in.
Got it.
Do the wellness check.
Okay.
And then sort it out. He wouldn't attack her with the cops standing in the foyer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that's thinking through is how it should have been handled.
Got it.
And they could have said, would you like us to come in while you do a wellness check on your children? That would have been the right way to handle it.
Got it.
Yeah. Talking to you, you have, I'm having a, whole different outlook on officers and the and the stress that they have to go through, because I mean, who would have known she would have done that, or he would have still tried to beat her up even though the police just came? You know, the police are right here. He ain't about to do that. If I was officer, I'm like, oh, he ain't about to do that. We just came over here, let's go, you know.
Yeah.
But that happened. That's wild.
Oh, let me ask this last one. Is your garage still considered your personal dwelling? Even if the door hasn't shut? Oh, so you have a garage. Garage door is open. Is that still considered your space?
I'm going to steal your line.
We love nuance around here.
I'm going to steal your line. I'm not a lawyer, but.
It's a good line.
It's still part of the dwelling. It's still, the garage is still part of the dwelling. Well, now let's nuance the nuance. What if you detached?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's a detached garage as opposed to an attached garage?
Yeah.
Property's property. I think, regardless if it's a detached garage or an attached garage, you're on someone's property.
Yeah.
And it's that expectation of privacy is protected under the Fourth Amendment.
Got it. Sounds like we all need to know the Fourth Amendment. Go ahead.
At what point, because I hear a lot about officers being sued or the state being sued because officers arrest people wrongfully, and people are winning cases, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 against the state. Is there are there situations where as a pedestrian, just let it happen and just sue them? Okay.
That's what I was saying, how oftentimes we want to justifiably so we're advocating for ourselves at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay. Yep. I get you later on paper.
Yeah.
Ah.
Work the system.
There you go.
That's the lesson. That's good. Okay, I think that we got through that much faster than we did the driving, because we have all the questions. this was good. Any lasting words you want to leave with people, specifically when it comes to your public, being out in public versus the privacy and things that you are kind of allowed when it comes to your home, or anything you missed that you want to say?
No, we covered a lot of ground. I just think that, you know, we in our society, in our, you know, wherever we call home, there are the laws that provide constitutional protections. But when you start peeling back the layers, there's also small things like statutory laws that might be not necessarily covered under the federal rules and federal guidelines of laws, but on the city ordinances is what I'm talking about. There might be violations that the city ordinance lays out that people are unaware, you know, so our system of laws are layered, and, you know, for the average person, we just don't, you know, folks aren't educating themselves on what those things are.
Yeah.
Parking, right? Parking is a big nuisance in some different communities. Mm-hmm. This was one coming into today's session I was thinking about. If you see a sign in a community and it says strictly enforced, that sign wasn't there most likely when that roadway was constructed and when those speed signs were put in. It might be a fast road. There could have been a number of accidents on that road. There could have been some pedestrian accidents. And so now people made complaints based on the activity in that area. And now that local town council or city council says, okay, well, you know, we're going to put some more postings, you know, for liability reasons, we're going to put postings there. So pay attention to those things. And that way you're not surprised if, you know, there's a cop and a cruiser, you know, hiding behind bushes.
Yeah.
And they point you out and pull you over. Right.
Yeah. Mm.
Pay attention to those signs. There's a reason for that. School zones, right? Mm. Is that flashing? Do 20 miles an hour when the sign's flashing, right? Pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing that I would say to folks is that some things are ubiquitous. We see them all the time. We don't pay attention to them, but we've got to take that time to really look at those things, pay attention, and understand why these certain things like signage is in place, you know, to enforce certain city ordinances.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I learned today.
Oh.
Be calm. Be cool. Set your pride aside if it bothers you because somebody says something out of the way to you. But like your boy said on Friday, you can live to fight another day.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
that's what I learned.
No, I think that's good. I think generally, obviously, there are some state-specific things, but broadly speaking, when there are, you know, rules and professional conduct that the police have to
carry themselves at certain standards. But you as a civilian, as a layperson who is going to, I imagine, at some point in your life, interact with an officer. Mm-hmm. These are some general tips and things to keep in mind to hopefully make your interaction as smooth as possible and everybody can go home alive and well.
You know, I just want to make that mention about the body cams.
Yep.
If that police officer has on a body cam, leverage it to help you.
Yeah.
Right. Stay calm, stay cool. Right. Just like Greg was saying, have that calm, collected demeanor in the conversation. And then from there, again, you feel that you're 100% in the right. There's justification for an appeal. And then you bring all of that with you in front of the judge and you advocate for yourself, but you're advocating the right way and you're advocating with evidence from that film, from that recording.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you for educating us. This has been amazing. We appreciate it.
I highly appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Question. Yes, sir. Nice to see you again as well.
Okay, so we will let you go because we've taken up an hour and a half of your time. And we appreciate it. That was so good. Of course, we'll always be in touch because you're the best. All the Patreons are very appreciative and excited and thankful. So thank you.
Can't wait to read their comments. Thank you both.
All right.
Take care.
All right. You do the same.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Yeah. Bye.